So alive, if the wind goes where you send it, child you died to save. You gave your life to love them so alive. You would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? The one who never leaves the one behind.
Like you would again 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. Like you would again 800 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? The one who never leaves the one behind.
Thank you. Spirit, we welcome your disease. Your Spirit is breaking out in this place. It's breaking the walls inside of our hearts. It's breaking through our thoughts. It's breaking through our mind. It's breaking through our past. It's breaking through our emotions. It's breaking through what we walked through yesterday and the last. You're breaking through all those walls. Your Spirit, there's nowhere for us to hide. You may think you're in the back. You may think you're unseen, but God sees you, and He knows your name, and He's calling you out this morning to break forth a praise to Him. Let's sing that one more time, and let's praise His name. Let's thank Him for every breath that we're taking. Let's thank Him for the breakthrough that is happening in our minds and in our lives.
Spirit, breath.
Do change everything. It doesn't matter what we are walking through. You change it, God, instantly. You change it, Jesus. God, when you speak, it doesn't come back void. Your promises are not broken. They remain strong, and they go on to be successful. They go on to carry out your purpose. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for today. Thank you for our provision. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. I'm so grateful, God, for your faithfulness. I'm so grateful, God. Even though I shouldn't be standing here this year, I am because of your faithfulness, God. Some of us shouldn't be here today, but we are because He is faithful, and He never lets us down, and He always comes through just on time. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you this morning, and we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. God is so good. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're so glad. Who's happy to be here today? Amen. We're so glad that you're with us. And if you're new, please stop by the visitor's desk in the foyer. We'd love to connect with you there. We've got a lot of announcements this morning, so bear with me. Let's see, we have a great opportunity coming up. The Senior Money Matters Seminar is coming up on March 14th. So if you haven't signed up for that already, please sign up with the card that you received at the door this morning and put it in the offering so that we can plan for you accordingly. The youth is raising money for fine arts, and they sold out of their donuts yesterday. Let's give them a round. Yeah. And we're so proud of them. They're doing an awesome job with that. But if you pre-order donuts, please pick them up in the foyer this morning. Beachwood is hosting a great opportunity to hear the prophetic update with America and Israel. So if you have not signed up for that already, please do so in the foyer today. That is tomorrow at 6:30. Also, the Family Resource Center that has organized the baby bottle campaign, the bottles are due next Sunday. So please don't forget, if you're participating in that, to bring the bottles back next Sunday. We're excited for what God is doing through that. Now we get to worship in our tithe and in our offering. So I would like to invite the ushers to come. Yeah, let's get excited about giving. So let's worship Him as we give.
Victory. want you to do me just one quick favor here. If you brushed your teeth this morning, how about raise your hand for me? This is just to make sure you're paying attention here. Now, since everybody did brush their teeth, how about turn to your neighbor and give them the biggest cheesy grin that you can possibly give? I see some cheesy ones. I see some cheesy ones. You know, if you are still sitting in the house and you are not happy and you are still a sourpuss this morning, we got to change that. Amen. Because you would be amazed at the power that there is in a smile. And I know sometimes things get tough and you are just you're just nasty sometimes. I'll give Pastor Miranda a big cheesy one. Sometimes I say some stuff and she said, hey, you must be talking to yourself up there because, sometimes I'm not that easy to get along with. But, don't let the stress of the world weigh you down. I mean, if you can't come in here and feel joy this morning, then you need to be crying out to God because he's looking to be that peace and to be that joy for you no matter what's going on. Amen. Well, we are excited. This coming Saturday, we're going to be going to ARU in Greenville as a trampoline park. There's a sign-up sheet for this out in the foyer. If you haven't signed up, please do so. And there's also a waiver that you have to fill out for your kids so that they're allowed to jump. We need at least 20 people to go to that, so please make sure that you sign your kids up. A couple people have. But we need to know early this week how many we'll have, so make sure you do that. Amen. Upstairs, we are continuing our studies. We've got a great series of lessons that we've been going over. And make sure we send home some sheets with your kids. Make sure that you're going over those with them. It prepares them for the week to come and talks about what we talked about this past week. And our memory verse up there is, as for me, I call to God, the Lord saves me. That's Psalms 55:16. So that's what we're talking about, and that verse goes along with our lesson. So parents, this time, please take your kids to the check-in table and pick them up at the end of service. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Come on, stand together one more time. Sing that again, Lauren. Redemption has a name. Come on. His name is what? Jesus. Come on. Lift your hearts. Lift your voices. Come on, I'm confident that the Spirit of God wants to manifest in this room today, in your heart, my heart, the hearts of the people here. We welcome our online audience. Thank you for those of you who are watching. Come on, just lift your hearts and your voices. Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus. Sing it, would you?
Holiness has a name, and it's Jesus.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Victory has a name, and it's Jesus.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. We thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy, that your word says follows us all the days of our life. And Lord, we pray that you would just have your way among us today. We declare your name is redemption. We declare your name is victory. We declare your name is healing. We declare your name is wholeness. Hallelujah. We worship you today, God. We exalt you today. Come on, let something come from your inner being. He said the sacrifice of praise, what? The fruit of your lips. Come on, let something come from within you this morning. Lift up your voices to the Lord today. Father, we worship you. We exalt you today, God. We thank you, God, for saving us, for redeeming us, for healing us, for sustaining us. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Lord. We exalt you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm so glad today that as we gather to worship, I'm so glad that Mr. Outlaw are back in the house today. Months, come on. Months ago, not weeks, months. Months ago, her husband, Brother Paul, and her were on their way from Windsor back to Ahoski when an 18-wheeler made a wrong move. And they went up under that thing and were just about 16 to 18 inches from having their head taken off. Come on. Deliverance has a name, and it's Jesus. Come on. Deliverance has a name. You say, yeah, but they still got in an accident. Listen, God is a God of mercy. Amen? He's a God of mercy. I don't know about you, but I think we all sometimes take life for granted. If you're here today, I got news for you. It's a strong indication that God is not finished with you yet. Amen? You got breath in your body. You got the ability, come on, you got the ability to get up, come on. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, I feel the Holy Ghost in this room today, come on. Why do I have to beg you to worship the Lord? Come on. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Bible says the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Come on, say it again. His mercy endureth forever. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord today. Hallelujah. 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 Bless your name. Come on, five somebody before you're seated. Tell them today's going to be a good day. Hallelujah. Today's going to be a good day. Thank you, worship team, for leading us into the presence of God. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Revelation 7 churches is the series. Today we talk about the third of seven churches in which Jesus makes an assessment. How many of y'all know what assessment is? You ever had an assessment on your work? How many of y'all have had annual reviews? Come on. They call you in, tell you what you've been doing good, tell you what you've been not doing so good, the reason why they only gave you a 2% raise instead of a 5% raise. Come on. Come on. You know how it works. Or telling you the reason why your company as a whole is not going to get the raise. Come on. They give you an assessment. John, the author of Revelation, was, I love this, he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I want you to imagine with me, John, this revelator, what do they call him? John the Revelator. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. How many of y'all read Revelation lately? I heard a voice behind me. And John compares this voice to a trumpet. Have you ever been anywhere when the trumpet sound was given? Have you ever been anywhere when the majestic royal sound of the trumpet came forth? He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and a voice behind me that he compared to the majesty of a trumpet. And he hears the words of the master to him in Revelation chapter 1, verse 19. And this is what he says. This voice, thundering like a trumpet, says, write the things which you have seen. Now you got to understand, John is exiled on a rocky island about 4 miles long, 5 miles wide. Just a place of rock. That's it. And he's exiled there. Why? Of preaching the gospel. He's exiled there because he has not withheld his ability, his calling, his divine placement to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. John, this one who was among the only one that we hear about in the scripture who gets to lay his head upon the breast of the Christ. You know, you had the crowd, you had the multitudes, you had the disciples, small d. You have the 72, you have the 12, you have the 3, Peter, James, and John. And then you have John the Beloved, the guy who writes this. And he says here he's having this intimate in the spirit relationship with the Holy Spirit and with Christ himself. And he says, I want you to write these things which you've seen. John's seen a whole lot at this time. John's seen a whole lot happen to the church at this time. He's seen a whole lot happen to himself at this time. He says, I want you to write what you've seen. I want you to write what is now. And I would imagine that he's having a hard time coming to grips with where he is right now. I mean, I've been faithful to preach the gospel. I've been faithful to love people. I've been faithful to lift up the bloodstained banner of the Christ. And here I am, exiled to nowhere land. I'm doing hard labor in the rocks. See, that's why I get frustrated when I look at some of these guys that on television living high-profile lifestyles in the name of the gospel. Nothing wrong with having good stuff. I got good stuff. God's given me good stuff. Some of my earthly folks are jealous of what I have. But that's okay. But I'm telling you, John is wondering why he's where he is right now. And he says, the Lord says to him, write what's now and write what will take place later. We call this the apocalypse. We call this apocalyptic literature. It's talking about the things which are to come. The first couple of three chapters of Revelation have taken place, are taking place, but when you get to chapter 4, that ain't happened yet. That's not happened yet. Oh, I know we got a group of people out there who say that it has. This is just a study of the Roman Empire. No, I beg to differ with you. The door has not been opened yet, and he has not said, come up here. We call that the rapture. I still believe in a rapture. Can I just tell you that? I still believe in a catching away of those who've named the name of Christ. I got all jacked up in my schedule this week. You probably saw the post on Facebook. I wonder why in the world God jacked my schedule up, wasted 8 hours of my day to put me in a car paying a good amount of money for an Uber ride to lead a Buddhist to Jesus. Is it worth it when you get messed up to share Jesus with somebody? I texted him early this morning and said, hey, don't forget to go to Destiny Church today. I even found him a church before I left the city. Go to church today at Destiny Church, a Buddhist, who when I said, have you ever read this before? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He's driving the Uber car. I'm holding the screen in front of his face ahead of the GPS. And I'm staring at his face with, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He said, I never heard that before. You mean to tell me in the 21st century with all the technology, and I got into his world through music. He's riding down the road listening to the Eagles. Living it up at the Hotel California. Such a lovely place. I said, man, you ever listen to the Doobie Brothers? He said, never heard of them. I said, search it out. You got Spotify. He searched out the Doobie Brothers. You ever heard Jackson Browne? Running on empty, running on. You ever heard Jackson Browne? He said, yeah, what other kind of music do you like? I said, well, I like a little soulful sound. He said, like Lionel Richie? I said, yeah. I'm easy, easy like Sunday morning. I said, speaking of Sunday morning, what do you do on Sunday morning? Oh, tell me the Holy Ghost can't use Lionel Richie. Come on, somebody. And so I got jerked around in my schedule, only to introduce a Buddhist to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on. He says, I want you to write the things which you have seen, the things which are now, which for him was not good, and the things that will take place later. Can I just tell you something, beloved? There's a later coming. And you got to be ready. You got to make sure your lamps are trimmed and burning. You got to make sure that you've accepted Christ, that your family's going with you, your friends, folk who you work with. There's a later that's coming. And he continues in verse 20, and he says, also the mystery, somebody say the mystery, of the seven stars in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the angels. Those are the pastors. Those are the literal men who are leading the churches of Asia Minor that God has chosen John, this bishop of this whole region, to receive the word for them because he's the bishop. He's the one who can speak to these churches. He says the seven stars are the angels, the pastors of the seven churches. And the seven lampstands are the seven churches. We're supposed to be a lampstand for Ahoskie, for Cofield, for Harrisville, for Murfreesboro, for Lewiston, for Roxville, for Kell. We're supposed to be a lampstand for this region. And the light of the Holy Spirit is supposed to be burning in this place so that people can't wait to get here on Sunday morning. Can I tell you, we're missing the mark? You say, Pastor, ease up, man. We've done well. We've done well, but not well enough. Because there's still a lot of people who haven't heard about the Lord. Believe it or not, there are folk who have not heard John 3:16. So Jesus, who's the originator, the founder of the church at large, has all rights to speak to any church, to assess or to grade or to evaluate any church, now speaks to the church today, this third church. Somebody say third. This third church, there was Ephesus, there was Smyrna, now there's Pergamum. The church at Pergamum will be known for one characteristic, and that characteristic is compromise. I said the church at Pergamum will be known for one thing, that one characteristic, Pergamum, the church of compromise. This past week I experienced a great example of one that did not compromise. Did not move to a lower standard. I was selected by the Assemblies of God to fly out to Springfield on their dime to receive a certification in ministry training called the Acts 2 Journey. And to complete this provision, I was to go to Springfield, Missouri, our national headquarters, and attend this training 9 to 5 every day. So they flew me there, and this week will go down as the most frustrating week I have ever had in the realm of flying. I was scheduled to fly 4 simple flights, which translated into 9 flights, 5 of which I actually flew. Some were canceled for ice, small airport, not prepared to deal with ice. Some were changed due to aircraft maintenance issues. In other words, the captain faced the decision, do we fly on and give no consideration to the fact that it's 17 degrees outside of the small Missouri airport where they're simply not prepared for these kind of conditions and therefore compromise our standards, putting dozens of passengers at risk? Or do we delay? Or do we just simply cancel? They didn't compromise. They delayed the flight. And secondly, we were in a position where a flight that was now second choice for me, I got bumped, and I was slated to leave at 6 a.m. the following morning. Supposed to already be on my way home. Well, we got you a hotel. Well, thanks. I've been sleeping in hotels all week. I don't want another hotel, okay? I want my own bed, my own teddy bear. Come on, somebody. I want my own teddy bear. 3 pillows on the bed for me? That's not, no, I don't need 3 pillows. We finally were able to be seated on this 6 o'clock, supposed to be 6 o'clock flight. I got there at 4 a.m., got seated on the plane only to hear the captain come on the speaker. I've already been delayed now, already lost the flight yesterday, already been delayed. Ladies and gentlemen, oh my God. I apologize, but we are getting a reading here in the cockpit that is simply below standard. We cannot fly this aircraft with the indication of a need for service. So we taxied back to the facility, made our way off the aircraft, and sit long enough to make a 6 o'clock departure, a 10:30 departure, which makes the connecting flight in Chicago O'Hare cancel. You're not going to be there for that. Passengers responded in a variety of ways. You got to be kidding me. Are you serious? For crying out loud. And several other responses of which are not pulpit worthy. But here's the point. The captain the staff, the movers and shakers of the ability to put you on a machine that will fly you 700 miles in an hour, simply made a decision not to compromise. I said they made a decision not to compromise. What is compromise? Well, it's to find or follow a way between two extremes. To compromise is to concede to something by shameful or disreputable means. To compromise is to move to a much lower standard than originally anticipated or originally planned. If there had been a compromise in these scenarios to fly even though it's icy or 17 degrees, or to fly even though a sensor on your aircraft is a new part that needs to be placed on there before we leave, would have placed lives in jeopardy and the lowering of a standard. A compromise could have been costly and we could have been in trouble 32,000 feet in the air. Was it frustrating? Was it aggravating? Was it inconvenient? The answer to all three of those is yes, yes, and yes. But thankfully, they didn't compromise. Imagine now this church in Pergamum that Jesus assesses. And when he comes to a conclusion about this church in Pergamum, he says, "You're a church that has compromised." Look at the text of Revelation 2, verses of 12 to 17. To the angel of the church in Pergamum write, "These are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. He says, I know where you live." Parenthetical statement here, where Satan has his throne. "Yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even in the days of Antipas." By the way, he's my faithful witness. The guy who was put to death in your city, that city where Satan lives. "Nevertheless," he says in verse 14, "I have a few things against you." Before you think you're getting a blue ribbon or a trophy, let me just tell you, there are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols. And he taught them that it was okay just to go ahead, have fun, commit sexual immorality. "Likewise," verse 15, "you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans." Verse 16, "Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them." Notice this, I'll come to you and fight against them. He's making this reference to the coming again of Christ to put his foot down upon the earth. When he sets his foot down again on the Mount of Olives and the Jezreel Valley and everything splits wide open. I've stood there many times. I'll stand there again in November. And water gushes as that city is split, as he's standing upon the very trail where they took him out of the place and had him arrested, right down beneath Gethsemane. Verse 17, "Whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the one who's victorious, I'll give him some hidden manna." You think you've had some good things to eat so far? I got some that's hidden that you've never tasted. Amen. "I'll give him some hidden manna, and I'll also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it." He's going to make your experience fresh, exciting, fulfilling. He's going to make the experience for those who follow him the epitome of the presence of Almighty God. Verse 12, "To the angel of the church in Pergamum, write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, the double-edged sword." Jesus has the credentials to speak to his church. John says that Jesus has the divine capacity to speak to you. And when he speaks, his words, how many of you know this to be true? When he speaks, his words will cut you. How many times have you been reading the word of God and thought, oh, because conviction comes. When he speaks, conviction comes. When he speaks, he brings us into alignment with the way that we should live. "Thy word, O Lord," David said, "is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I hide his word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." His words are double-edged. Isaiah the prophet described the coming Messiah the same way. I'm looking in the prophecies of
Jesus. And in Isaiah chapter number 11, verse number 4, look at what it says about Jesus. But with righteousness, he'll judge the needy. With justice, he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. Listen to this. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. Listen, don't forget. He's the one who said, let there be light. And there was light. He has the ability with his mouth, with his voice. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, with the breath of his lips. Just a whisper, he can slay the wicked. Isaiah proclaimed it, John confirmed it. Jesus has the ability to speak, and things happen. And he's speaking to you, and he will cut you like a two-edged sword. In fact, Revelation reveals to us that Jesus himself will speak a word in the last days when he returns and the enemies of his coming together in that Jezreel Valley, just like I mentioned a moment ago. And it just starts there. When he comes back, it just starts there. It ultimately ends not in the Jezreel Valley, but in the Valley of Megiddo. Have you ever heard the term before? Armageddon. And the Bible says that he will speak and he will release the fierce wrath of God. The Almighty will, his words will flow like juice flowing from a wine press. He has the ability. I don't know how you feel. You're watching the news. You're thinking, oh, man, there's so many crazy things going on in the earth. And we hear this about China. We hear this about Russia. Can I just tell you something? If you read thoroughly the book of Revelation, this is not a surprise. It's not a surprise. Jesus is the one who's speaking to this church at Pergamum. And look at what he says. This one who has this authority, this one who speaks with his voice, he can conquer nations. He's the one who speaks. And this is what he says about this little church, just another 20 so miles north of where we were last week. Not far down the road. Last week we went from Ahoskie to Franklin. This time we're going from Franklin to Suffolk. Are you with me? It's just a little northeast. And he's speaking to this church, and he says, I know where you live. I know right where you live. Oh, by the way, let me go ahead and tell you, it's where Satan has set up his throne. Yet in the midst of this, you're a church. You know, scholars can't even decide who it was that actually started this church. It's probably an overflow from the great revival of Ephesus. And somehow or another, some of Paul's ministry team established a congregation there. And John is the bishop, and he's overseeing all this work. And there's a pastor there. And he says, I want you to know, Pastor, I know where you live. And I want you to know, Pastor, you didn't renounce your faith in me, even when the times got tough and you saw before your very eyes, the time frame, AD 92, you saw before your very eyes in the year 92 that they took Antipas and made him like a piece of meat circling over the fire. Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us that Antipas was placed upon a long steel rod and he was fixed up rotisserie style. And the fires literally just baked him like a chicken. He was the one who was proclaiming the gospel. He was the one who was faithful in this city called Pergamum. He was the one that everybody looked at and said, man, what a ministry. Have you seen their worship team? He was the one that everybody had their eyes on. And he died the death of a martyr. And Jesus says, hats off to this cat. He says, I'll say you did well too because you at least you didn't renounce your faith after they put him on the rotisserie. Because he was my what? My faithful witness. He was put to death in your city one more time or Satan has his throne. Some of you say, well, you know, I like messages about prosperity. I like messages about how it's God's will that, you know, that he's going to bless me. He is. He's going to bless you. But can I just tell you something? Come on, somebody say balance. You better discover a balance in your walk with Christ. You better understand that the Word of God says in its truth, all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you haven't had trials and testing and difficulty and hardship and missed flights and every other thing that disappoints you, then guess what? You're probably not a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Somebody said to me just a while ago, they said, Pastor, I'm praying for you and Sister Joy. Because he said, I've watched what you've done in northeastern North Carolina by the grace of God. You have been a living example to our nation, to our movement, to the assemblies of God. You've been a living example because I've been a lot of places and I haven't seen a church that is diverse as Carpenter Shop is in your little northeastern North Carolina neck of the woods. And can I tell you something? The Lord says as he continued to prophetically speak over me, you have laid your finger on a principality. Your church has laid their finger on a principality. I say it to you often. It's really not normal for folk of all different kind of walk of life and ethnicity to come into a facility like this on a weekly basis and worship together. Psalm 133 says there's tremendous unity and blessing in that. Sometimes I think we need to be reminded that God has a tremendous anointing upon this ministry. And can I just tell you something? I'm so excited. I'm so excited because we haven't touched the surface. I'm so excited when I look and on a platform this morning, my own daughter-in-law is walking in here in the anointing of the Holy Spirit with a microphone in her hand, allowing the presence of God to flow through her to speak a word. I'm excited. My son is playing a guitar and leading worship. I'm excited because younger people than me, the Laurens and the Kaiages and the Daryls, Pastor Joy and I love it because we are excited about passing ministry along to folk who are not in their 50s. You say, well, you just told me if I'm older than 50, I ain't got a chance here. No, I didn't say that. We have plenty of stuff for you to do. But I'm excited about this younger generation. I really am. They get connected with the Spirit of God in a different way than we do. Thank you, Julie Rasko. How many of y'all know Julie Rasko? Stand, Julie. Gives of herself. Gives of herself freely, willingly, every week, 10 o'clock on Wednesday, 7 o'clock again on Wednesday night, to folk who are struggling with life-controlling issues and addictions and all kinds of things that are controlling them. And then, Pastor, I thought you used to do Celebrate Recovery. I just get it started and let it go. Okay? I just get things started and get out of the way. And we need you. This church is going on a new journey. Can I just tell you that today? This church is going on a new journey, and those of you who are sitting here in your blessed assurance doing nothing for the kingdom of God except enjoying our worship services, you need to get ready because God has a ministry for you. Okay? It's not God's will that you be sitting in a church just enjoying the blessings and the anointing and the singing and the teaching and the good preaching and all that stuff. It's not God's will that you just sit there and say, oh, that was a good meal. Getting fat off of what we do. It's God's will that everybody in this church have a purpose and a ministry. I dream of a day. I believe it in the Spirit. I can see it. I believe a day is coming for this church when we will be in trouble because we can't hold the people in this room. Will we go to two services? What will we do? I have no idea, but I'm sure excited about trying. I'm sure excited about getting a taste of what that's like to see standing room only Sunday morning. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about seeing God do incredible things. You know what? God knows the same is true about us. He knows where we live. He knows that there's tremendous strongholds in this community. He knows that even as we have done, as well as we have done, there are still tremendous strongholds in the area of racial disharmony. He knows that. He knows that there's a tremendous satanic influence in this community. He knows that. It's not catching him off guard. And he says the same thing to us today. I know where you live. Where there's nothing to do. And so when there's nothing to do, guess what? People will invent ways, ungodly ways to have a good time. I just blocked a guy on Facebook yesterday that I've just blocked him off because I'm tired of watching him parade his sin to the world. Or every night here for the last 4 or 5 weeks, he's just set his live feed up and just says, yeah, it's me again. I'm getting ready to turn him up. And we just sit there and watch him drink for a couple hours until he's just done, until he's drunk. I sent him a message before I blocked him. I'm getting ready to block you. Just so you'll know, I'm getting ready to block you. I'm always here as I always been. I've reached out to you before. I saw this man stand at our altar and weep and toss some of his vices aside and serve the Lord for just a few days during our last revival with Jonathan Shuttlesworth. It didn't last long. He just made a decision that he didn't stand with. Now he's gone right back into his sinful life, and it's worse. It's worse. And so I said, I'm blocking you because I can't participate in seeing you parade your sin to the world. I'm always here. If you need me, call me. But as of today, I'm blocking you off my Facebook feed. Just thought I'd let you know. Yeah. I know where you are. There's so many people that are bound up in northeastern North Carolina. So many people that are bound up. They're tied up. They're bound up. They're just in need of tremendous deliverance. Some of you have family members like that. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you sitting here this morning, some of you listening to our live feed, you are in a position where you know things. You don't have things. Things have you. Things are controlling you. Things are influencing you. Things are manipulating you. And it's time for you to draw the line and take authority over those demonic things in the name of Jesus and cast them out. Amen. Take authority over them. Amen. Jesus describes Pergamum as a city where Satan has his throne. Satan was ruling there. Paganism abounded there. Idolatry abounded there. Just like the other churches we've talked about in the last couple of weeks. Idolatry abounded there. People were worshiping false gods and idols. In fact, they said of Pergamum that there was a medical school there that some had called the very first psychological school in the world. They believed that they could talk you into being well with their own abilities. You ever been riding along in a major city and seen where you could stop by and have somebody just look at your palm? See? Or you could get a group of tarot cards. You say, well, that stuff worked? The answer is yes. Anytime you play with the spirit world, it'll work. You say, how do you know that? All you got to do is get a Ouija board and get in the room and get the right atmosphere, and the thing will move and speak to you. This is a spirit world that is very real. Don't get closed-minded and say, oh, that stuff don't work. Nothing speaks to you through that. Yes, it does. The devil speaks to you through that. The devil speaks through those kinds of things. There was a great psychological school there. They believed they could just talk you into being well. And if they couldn't talk you into being well, they had several baths that they would put a person through. And they believed that they could get anyone well without Yeshua. It was known as the center of the worship of the god Asclepius. You say, I never heard that before. Well, look it up. He was a serpent god of healing. Its idol was a snake coiled around a staff. And the people there worshiped this serpent, and they believed that this serpent had the power to heal. What have you seen in the Bible that the serpent was a representative of? Come on now. It was known as the center of worship, and they released all manner of non-poisonous snakes inside this temple that was erected there, and worshipers would come and just lie down and just hope that a snake would just cross over them, because it was believed that if the snake would cross over them and make contact with their body, then the prophet over there in the corner could say, oh, now we know what you're dealing with, and he could work them through their difficulties. Sounds kind of crazy, don't it? But Jesus, listen, Jesus is the one that tells us about it. He says, you're in the place where Satan has set up his throne. They released all manner of non-poisonous snakes inside the temple, and worshipers would just take a trip in there, lay down, wait for a snake to crawl over them. Then they would get up and go to the prophet. He would say, oh, when he crossed over you, this is what I see. Okay? He was doing his magic through a snake. Jesus said Satan has his throne there. In fact, Jesus mentions this man named Antipas. Antipas, ordained by John. Can you see him at his service there? They lay hands on him, release Antipas to the ministry. John says, man, go for it. Where do you feel like God's called you? I've called me a man to Pergamum. Oh, Father, touch him in the name of Jesus as he goes to Pergamum. And he goes in the midst of this society that is so pagan, worship-oriented. And they get a hold of him because he's making a difference. Scholars tell us that there's indication that he was making a tremendous dent in the kingdom of darkness, and he was causing some of these guys who were worshiping the false gods to go out of business. And so they captured him. And they mount him to a rod, and they put him on the circular and let him die a slow death over the fire. Can you imagine? You didn't renounce your faith in me. Not even. You know, imagine what the church was thinking when they hear this. That they've killed Antipas, our leader. You going back to church Sunday? No. Okay. They might do to us what they did to him. But he says, you know what? Jesus says, you didn't renounce your faith in me. Even when they cooked Antipas, you stood there. My faithful witness. Put to death in that city where Satan lives. And so by this time, they're getting like, oh, yeah, we did that, didn't we? Yeah, we stood. He says, nevertheless, what? Nevertheless, verse 14, I have a few things against you. There's some among you that hold to the teaching of Balaam, thought that Balak to entice the Israelites so that they could eat food sacrificed to idols and also to commit sexual immorality. Verse 15, likewise, you have those among you who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Jesus commends the faithful, but he says that there's a warning. Some of you, not all of you, some of you have done what? You've compromised. Can I just tell you something in all honesty? Not because I know, but because I know humanity. There are people in this room right now listening to me who've compromised your faith and your witness. You have a Sunday life, but you also have a Saturday night life. See? You have a Sunday life. When you say, oh, I'm going to get my worship on. Well, what were you doing last night? In some cases, it might not be what you were getting on, but what you were taking off. Let me get my worship on. Is that for us to see? Is that for the world to see? Who's the real you? Who's the real you? The real you is who you are when you're alone. When you're confident, nobody else sees you. That's the real you. That's when character comes alive. Compromise. I want to believe. I guess I need to go to church Sunday. And you get things right, and then all of a sudden Monday comes, Tuesday comes, Wednesday comes, and you're slipping again. Well, guess what? You're going to slip. Unless you get to the place where, you know what, this thing is just, it's in me. I can't help it. I've got to have his word. I've got to have his presence. I've got to have his people among me. You are who you hang with. You've heard me say it before. You cannot run with dogs and not get fleas. It's not going to happen. You become like the atmosphere that surrounds you. That's why it's important. Listen, you need to make it a priority. You need to make it a priority that Sunday is a day that you come collectively to worship the Lord. You're going to go to church, and then after church, maybe you'll do something else. But you're going to go to church. And you need to set it down in stone. Wednesday night is a time for small groups. Tuesday night is a woman's group. Thursday night, a woman's group. Get involved in something that causes you to be nurtured in your faith. Come to Bible study. Come to Bible study. Get involved in Bible study. 1 hour. There was a young group that met this morning. Young girls. This morning, 9 o'clock. Can I tell you something? I believe that it won't be long before there'll be multiple groups meeting at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings in this church. Not just one. When could we meet? How about 9 o'clock Sunday morning? There's a room available where we can meet. Why meet? Why meet? Why meet? Why meet? Because meeting is important. Why is meeting important? Because nurture is important. Why is meeting important? Because encouragement is important to your life, to your spiritual life. Well, I can't do it Sunday morning. I can't do it Wednesday night, Tuesday night. Go to Beachwood Monday night, 6:30. You even get to eat. Get involved in some collective effort to nurture the faith that you hold to. Get involved. Because you need to be involved. See? And I'm just going to be your pastor here for a minute. I can't understand some of you. The service starts at 10. You come wandering here at 10:45, and you feel connected and involved? No, you don't. You don't. You know what you are? You're late. You know what else you are? Trifling. That's what you are. And if you feel conviction right now, praise God. You should feel. Maybe you should feel embarrassed. Praise God. Because it's a shame for you to walk in here 30 minutes late to a service that starts in 10. Well, I don't really like the music. It ain't for you. It's for Him. Okay? It's for Him. Well, if they would do what I like, we're not doing what you like. This is not your church. This is not the me church. Let that sink in for a second. Okay? Just let it sink in. What would happen, you go to work tomorrow at 8 o'clock, what would happen if you just kind of walked in about 8:40 and said, good morning, you're fired. Try it. Why don't you show up tomorrow about 40 minutes late? Just try it. You might get away with it one time. You might say, well, you know, my car wouldn't start this morning. That might work for a while. But what I'm saying to you, beloved, is fall in love with the things of God. Get connected to the things of God. Get involved in a small group. Get involved in something going on in the church. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Into His courts with praise. Come on down and get to His presence. And let God change you. Let Him change you. Jesus commends these faithful people, but He says, hey, you got a few things I'm concerned about. Can I just bother to tell you the truth this morning? I'm doing the same thing with you this morning. I love you. You're great people. Great church. Man, this is an amazing place. But the Holy Spirit's got a few things He's disappointed in. Amen. It's the same principle. I told you before, I opened Shoe Show here in town many, many years ago. Many, many, many years ago. My supervisor trained me. He was a regional director. I was a supervisor. I had 13 stores between Edenton and Raleigh. I told you this before. And he said to me, always go in the store and tell them something good. Man, nice display. That looks great. Your sales are up. But right before you leave, tell them what you don't like. So that when you leave them, they say, wow, we got some straightening up to do. We got some straightening up to do. Beloved, I'm just being honest with you. You say, well, Pastor, aren't you happy? We've done a good job. I am happy, but not happy enough. Okay? Why? Because there's still empty seats here. Why? Because some of your family members are not serving the Lord. They can go out of here just like that, man. In a moment, in an accident, something can happen and can take your family out. You need to make sure your household is in order. Don't compromise. If we're not careful, we'll take a lesser standard than the standard God has for us. We'll let idolatry creep in. What is idolatry? Well, St. Augustine, one of the early church fathers, said this. He said, idolatry is worshiping that which is meant to be used or using that which is meant to be worshiped. What is idolatry like in the 21st century? It's when you never go to church. You never pray, you never read the word, but all of a sudden the doctor says you got cancer. Oh, Jesus, please. Now you want healing. That's idolatry. that is using something that was meant to be worshiped. He's to be worshiped every day, whether you're sick or well. Okay? It's like push-button theology. Oh, they're going to cut my lights off. Now you start speaking in tongues. No. They shouldn't be cutting your lights off. The principle is this. Put him first in your giving. Put him first. Tithe your income. And he said, I will rebuke the devourer for your very sake. Idolatry is a push-button theology in today's church. That I call on him when I'm in trouble. Boom, I need healing. Boom, I need deliverance. Boom, I'm in trouble. Boom, my daughter's in jail. You just push the buttons of theology. You just appeal to the loving God because you're in trouble. It's so, so easy to allow little things to creep into your life and eventually consumes your mind, consumes your thoughts, consumes your behaviors. It's really quite easy to become a person of compromise. In Galatians chapter 1, verse 6, check this out. Paul says to the church there, listen, I'm so amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Which he goes on to say is really no gospel at all. Look at Romans 13, verse 14, Paul again. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. How many of you deal with ungodly thoughts in the church besides me? Okay? How many of you deal with thoughts that come in your mind and you say, man, where did that come from? Okay, so you got a choice then. You either go with the thought, because if you don't take captive, as Paul said, every thought that manifests itself and exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ, you will eventually go with the thought. You have to take it captive. Thoughts that come in your mind. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to lust. 2 Corinthians 6:14, he says, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common?
But I just think he loves me.
He loves you, but he don't love Jesus. So go ahead and marry the rascal. But don't call for me when the whole thing falls to pieces. Because you're told here, don't be yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship does light have with darkness? Don't look at that relationship as a missionary one. I'm just trying to lead him to Jesus. Well, you better lead him to Jesus before he leads you to the sack. Okay? Matthew 6:24. Jesus himself said it like this. No man can serve two masters. Okay? You love one, you hate the other. Verse 16, what does he say? Worship guys, come join me here, would you? He says, repent. Otherwise, I will come to you, and I'm going to fight against them with the sword of my mouth. This is a powerful, powerful verse that Jesus is pleading with the church to say, please get it right before I come back. Listen, beloved, think here. He's not talking to people who are not claiming Christianity. He's talking to who? The church. And he's calling for people in the church to repent. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, the Bible says. That's true. But here he's talking to Christians who are in need of repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is, I was going this way, but now I've decided I am going this way. I'm going the way that I should go. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of heart completely. Where you were going one way, now you're going the other. It's a change of mind. It's a simple call from Christ. Change your mind, change your heart. You were going this way. Go the other way. Turn around. Get it right. Why? Because he is coming soon. He says, I will come to you. Verse 17. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And to the one who's victorious, what does that mean? That means that just because you're in the church doesn't mean that everybody's going to make it. There are a lot of people who are going through the ritual of church, and they're not going to make eternity. They're not. But I thought they went to church. It's not about going to church. It's about going to Jesus and having a radical transformation where Paul said, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. They become new. Pastor Dan Smith, a man who I deeply, deeply respect, he said to me one day, he said, Pastor Wallace, what do you think, man? Why do you think we have in, out, up, down, in, out, up, down? Why do you think we just have this continual flow of people who come and go and come and go? And instead of just seeing continual forward motion and growth and development and discipleship and change, we have to struggle with, you know, up and down, up and down. He said, you know what I'm convinced of? That a lot of people sitting in the church never have been saved. Never. If you're victorious, he says, I got some hidden manna for you. I got some stuff you ain't ate yet. He says to the one who's victorious, I'm going to give that person a white stone and have a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. I've studied that. I've studied that for years. Don't have time to go through all that today, but there's tremendous study on the white stone. I've been to Israel many times, going again in November. That place is loaded with white stones, brown stones, and black stones. I always bring a black stone home with me because they're good for scrubbing your body. You pick them up off the edge of the Sea of Galilee. I always go down here and pick them up. Basalt. They got little holes in them, and it makes a nice little natural sponge. But he says, to you who overcome, I'm going to give you a new white stone. White is a symbol of purity. And he said, I'm going to put your name on it. It's a new name, known only to the one who receives it. He's going to call you by name. Jesus says, if you got ears to hear me, walk the right path. Don't compromise. Don't fall for a lesser standard. Don't fly the plane 17 degrees with ice on the runway. Don't take off in a plane that you know there's a part that needs to be replaced and you need to replace it. Don't. I had the worst week of flying that I've had in a long time, but guess what? The pilot did not compromise, and I got home a day and a half later, but guess what? I got home. Amen? Suppose the pilot would have said to the co-pilot, it's just a little sensor. How many of you have got a car that every time you get in it, it says, check engine? And somebody who rides with you who's never been in your car before, you say, now, don't pay no attention to that check engine light. It's been on for 6 months. Okay? It's just a... Only to discover that if you'd have really gone ahead and gotten it fixed, instead of costing you $190, it, you know, maybe would have been a $19 sensor. Don't compromise. Don't fall for the immorality that is constantly knocking on the door of your heart. Don't compromise the truth for a lie. Repent. I'm asking you this morning, are there persons in this room that you know because you know There's some things that you need to get cleaned up this morning, that you need to come to the Lord in open repentance. Come on, stand up right where you are. Just stand up and come, please. Come right now. Come, I know the Holy Spirit is dealing with some of your hearts. Come on, pastors, ministers, help me here. Stretch out across this room. Are you here this morning and perhaps maybe you've allowed some compromise? Pastor, have you had times in your life? Listen, me, I've had times in my life where, you know what? I've allowed some compromise in my life and I've allowed things to affect me the way that I shouldn't have. Come on, stretch out all the way across here. Are there things that you need to give to the Lord today? Come on, what about it, young people? Yeah, you pull out this thing here, man, just pow, 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 pow. Next thing you know, you're just searching in pages that you know full well you have no business going there. Come on, as they sing this morning, would you allow the Holy Spirit to bring you to a place of, I need to repent? You don't hear messages on repentance much today. You can listen to the preachers, man. They'll talk to you about having more money, having finer cars, nicer things. But nobody's calling for repentance. Nobody's calling for just come as you are, just broken before me, and let the Lord fill you. Let the Lord fill you. Come on, sing it, Pastor Josh. Would you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart? Stand with me, would you?
You're always moving in the unseen.
Come on, pray, guys, pray. Maybe you're here today, maybe you don't know the Lord Jesus. Maybe you've never really asked him into your heart.
Before I come,
just come.
You know my need.
Come on.
You're always going before me.
See me through.
Tell you this, it all boils down to one thing. The Lord wants more of your heart. That's all. The Lord wants more of your heart. He wants more of your heart. Jeremiah prophesied, he said, you'll seek me, you'll find me when you seek me with your whole heart. I feel a tremendous responsibility for this church. It's a priority in my life. It is. Well, you're involved with District World. Well, you're trying to sell real estate. No, the priority of my life is the calling that God has placed upon my life. He's called me to be a pastor. The pastor. And I discover in my pastoring that the Holy Spirit speaks to me like he's speaking to me through this series. And he's saying to Wallace Phillips, you know what, Wallace Phillips? I want more of you. Well, I don't like what you said about being late. Get over it. Grow up. You shouldn't be late. What would happen if this church discovered the reality of getting to church early? Coming in at, service starts at 10. Come in at 9:15. Go to the cafe. Go to the prayer room. Go to the altar. What would happen to this community? Church got so on fire that the worship team couldn't hardly get started because the altars are full with people who are just saying, God, move on us today. Move by your Spirit today, Lord. What would happen? What would happen if we were broken? Broken before God. Well, I don't know if I should go to the altar because they might think I've got compromising. You do have compromise in your life. All of us do. And the Holy Spirit just loves us enough to speak to us and say, you know what? I think you're doing this well. I think you're doing this really good. I think you rock at this. But nevertheless, I got something to tell you. You just have some issues that I want to deal with, okay? Can't you see what my heart is sharing with you today? That's what God said to this church, and that's what he's saying to us. I'm proud of you. You've broken racial barriers. You've done some incredible things. Nevertheless, I don't want you to compromise in any area in your life. That's all he's saying. That's all he's saying. I don't want you to compromise. I don't want to be known as a church that compromises. I really don't. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you to chew on this word today throughout the week. Ask the Holy Spirit, in honesty, ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you please reveal to me this week areas in which I've compromised? Would you please speak to my heart and show me? Some of you already know areas that you've compromised, but maybe for some of you, maybe it's one of those things where you say, Lord, have I compromised my witness in any way? Have I compromised my faith in you in any way? Please reveal this to me. And when he gives that to you, just say, Lord, I just repent of that. I just thank you, Father, for your faithfulness. I turn from that and I walk away from it. I'm so thankful that this week, you know, I was in a hotel room Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, all by myself. I'm thankful that, you know what, the TV wasn't an issue. I just catch up on the news, then I get on FaceTime and call my wife. Hey, how you doing? You know, I didn't have to worry about, you know, watching something that wasn't, that shouldn't be watched. And guess what? There was a time in my life when that was a problem for me. Maybe I shouldn't have watched that movie. But I thank God for the freedom of being a man who's in a hotel room by himself. And I just said, Lord, thank you for just your sustaining, your keeping power of my life. Thank you for my desires. My desires are not here. My desires are at home. Amen. Thank you for keeping me. John Maxwell, how many of you have read any of his books? John Maxwell said he used to travel all the time. And he had a guy, Bill Klassen, in his life. And he said, Bill, accountability partner. And he would travel, get on the plane, go out of town every week. And he said, when I would get home, I was ready to meet the folks at Wesleyan Church because I was their pastor. And he said, Bill would call me up and said, hey, John, welcome home. And he'd say, I knew it was coming. He'd say, John, I got a couple questions to ask you. You got a minute? And he'd say, yeah. And he'd say, John, when you were away this week, you know, you were in hotel rooms, you were by yourself, did you watch anything on TV that was would be considered inappropriate? And he'd say, no. Did you sit down in a restaurant or in an atmosphere where maybe you were sitting with someone that could be considered, you guys were talking or talking about things that were inappropriate? He'd say, no. He said, can I ask you one more question, John? He said, sure, Bill. Did you just lie to me on either one of those questions? And John Maxwell, the guru of church growth, said this in tears. I saw him. He said, there were times when I had to say, can we talk about question one? And Bill would say, yeah. He said, I just want to tell you, I did watch some things on TV that would probably be considered for me as inappropriate. And he said, I would just say, Bill, would you pray for me that that doesn't happen again? He let the truth set him free and recognized that there was an area of compromise in his life. But he said, I remember coming to a place where that was no longer an issue. And I was a free man. Come on, guys. Praise the Lord with me this morning. Praise the Lord. Come on, sing that line again, man. You guys are free to go, but please go by the table. If you're intending on going to the Israel America prophetic update tomorrow night, there's a free meal. Please sign the form in the foyer. We have to have your name. Sign that as you go today. Go freely. Listen to this song, man. Listen to this. Your faithfulness will see me through. I'm confident. So can rest. Your faith.